to be part of church and come along. So can I ask you next week, will we come along? We've got Bruce and Julie Williams from C3 Church in Adelaide. They happen to be the state directors of South Australia for C3 churches and Northern Territory, in fact. We have a C3 church in Darwin. And great people. And so they're going to be with us next weekend. And also, we're having a leaders and volunteers. Okay? And some volunteers have said, well, if you're a volunteer, you regularly volunteer, not just like once a year, but if you regularly volunteer, okay, you're regularly doing something, might be once a month on a roster, you're welcome. We're going to have lunch together and we're going to have a leaders meeting at about 12:30 once we've had our coffee and cafe. So who's ready for a big Sunday? Come on. We can do this together. It's going to be a great way to have fun too. And we do it sometimes on Sunday like that because, well, saves us in their airfares and things. They can do two meetings in one day. It's okay to go to church twice in one day. It's all right. Who's glad they went Friday church as well as Sunday? Put your hand up. So that's pretty cool, isn't it? It was a great time we had together. And so second Friday in October, we're doing our next Friday church as well. And hopefully we should have some fine weather by then. That'll be nice, won't it? All right, so this morning, I want to continue to talk to you about good news. Who likes good news? Does anyone not like good news? I mean, bad news really does kind of, has anyone noticed like how quickly bad news turns your day? It's not good, is it? Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? Because like, you know, it can be an emotional thing. I mean, I've got kids. My goodness, that adds to it, doesn't it, Sandy and Kylie? You know, you just don't know sometimes. But fortunately, I've got good kids. Jared, you're a very good kid, mate. As is my daughter, Sarah. Good kids. All right. Let's have a look at what we're doing this morning. Father, we pray today that you would anoint the word of God. Lord, we look forward to the good things that you're going to do in our lives through your word this morning. Build us up in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to have a look at, just make this thing turn around, that's better. We're going to have a look at this morning. The title of my message is, have we taken up the offering? Thank you. Title of my message is, what was that? I missed it. Funny title, yeah. The object of our faith is Jesus. The object of our faith is? Okay. So last week we looked at overcoming. Who's glad we can overcome through Jesus? And that we face sometimes all sorts of struggles and trials. But Jesus is in our life to strengthen our faith. So no matter what we're going through, God wants to strengthen our faith, right? God doesn't want us to be weak Christians. His desire for us is to be strong in our faith. The Bible says in James 1, verse 3 and 4, for when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. And you will be ready for anything. Wow. The most important thing we can be in this life is his disciple. This series is about being a disciple. We're looking at Jesus, the object of our faith, because being a disciple means that we've actually got to know Jesus quite intimately, don't we, James? Yes. Guys, good to have you in church. We need to make Jesus the object of our faith. And I want to explain that this morning. How much Jesus was trying to show to his disciples how important it is to keep going back to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Yeah? Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world and make disciples. Who'd like to be a disciple? Because you can be just a, not everyone's, who'd like to be a disciple, not just a believer? Do you know what I'm saying this morning? We don't want to just be believers. That gets quite dry and boring after a while, doesn't it? Seriously. Because if there's no experience, if you just believe, you never really step out of the boat and test your faith in God, do you? Who believes that God wants to use them? Come on. Who really believes that God wants to use them to help another person and bring life into their world? Morena, I know you believe that. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would completely heal. Come on, let's lift our hands towards Morena. Father, Lord, this sickness has been just holding on. Lord, I pray the power of God in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord. Faithful servant of yours. Father, I pray let the power of God break every infirmity in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, you know, so Jesus is with his disciples. And he says to them, I'm not going to be with you for much longer. And they kind of don't get it. And he made one statement before he even got to that point, and he said, I am with you always to the end of the age. He was trying to build their faith. Who knows that Jesus is with you to the end of the age? Jesus isn't just there one minute and gone the next. Sometimes we go, well, he's not here right now. Yes, he is. He's always here. He's always with us. He never leaves us. Sometimes it's, yes, we feel it stronger, but he hasn't left us. He's there. And he says this to them because they're getting a bit troubled. In John 14:1, if you have your Bibles, turn with me. John 14:1, we're going to use this scripture. John 14, this weekend after the Williams Cup. And probably Bruce will use it as well. Because he asked me what we were talking about. So that's next week. John 14:1. Don't be troubled. You trust God. Now trust in me. Don't be troubled. The first point I want to make this morning is the answer to trouble is trust. I mean, it'd be nice if we didn't have trouble, but the point is, in this life, we're going to have trouble, right? Bible says that. But the answer to trouble is, who are we trusting in? Who are we trusting in? Who are we trusting in? Let's be a little bit more specific. Who are we trusting in? Jesus. Who are we? Let's be more specific. Who are we trusting in this time? Jesus. Why are we trusting in Jesus, Yvonne? He's the way. My goodness gracious me. All the way from, where are you guys from? Liberia. Oh, my. He's stolen half my message. See, the answer to trouble is trust. The disciples are getting really anxious and troubled because the only one they have given their life for over the last few years is saying he's not going to be with them anymore. This is like, can you imagine what this would be like for him? This would be like a child losing his parents. The disciples, that's all they've known. That's been their way of life. And suddenly, they just can't understand it. What do you mean you're not going to be with us anymore? A future without Jesus comes as a shattering prospect to the disciples at this point. And despite his repeated attempts to prepare them for such an eventuality, they still just they don't get it. And Jesus dresses troubled hearts by urging them, first of all, to have faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, have faith. See, troubled hearts are as common today as they were in the disciples' period. You think Jesus knew that? Thanks, Mum. Thanks, son. You know, we're troubled hearts. I don't think there'd be anyone in this room that doesn't have a troubled heart from time to time. Am I right? Trouble comes to us. We experience trouble on various levels. Jesus says, keep your trust in Him because that is where you will find your peace. We exist to honor God. Yes? And if we're going to be a disciple, then there comes and this is not always easy, I know. We might have days, we might have weeks where we're not doing so well, but ultimately our peace comes from God still. Yeah? So in our hearts, even though there's trouble, like, have you had? I've had it on occasions where people have come up to me that don't know, how are you coping with that? Like, why aren't you, you know, why haven't you gone to the loony bin? There's something about having faith in God. Is there not? Something about having as the object of our faith the Lord Jesus Himself. So, we exist to honor God. And a true disciple of Jesus doesn't pull the pin when life becomes difficult. Who'd like to grow a bit in this area in their life? They rise up in their faith. Come on, you know, we should, every Sunday, when we're having our praise and worship, every person in the church that loves Jesus, that is the object of their faith is Jesus, we should come on, God, praise you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you. That situation's not so good now, but I know it's going to turn around. How much different do you think church is going to be when that kind of stuff happens? He's the author and perfecter of our faith, is he not? The object of our faith is Jesus. Come on, say it with me. The object of my faith is Jesus. That's not to discount God, as we'll get to in a moment. You see, he says this. He's looking at the disciples. I think it was Philip. He actually goes, well, what do you mean you're not going to be with us anymore? And he says this. Have faith in God. Have faith in me. Now, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? Have faith in God, have faith in me. It's like a double whammy. In other words, if you've got faith in Jesus, you're going to have faith in God. You're going to have faith in God, but you can't have, may not have faith in Jesus. See, there's a big difference between actually, see, this is the crux of the gospel. Jesus is the important factor. Because without Christ, there's no resurrection. Without Christ, there's no life in us. It's just a God, and it could be a lot of various gods. There's not lots of ways to God. The way to God is through Jesus. Jesus is the author of our faith. The object of our faith is Jesus. It's not Mary. Hey, it's not Mary. We don't pray to Mary, we pray to Jesus. Because Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the one. The Bible says it over and over. Look to Jesus, you look to God. God, Jesus, they work hand in hand. And of course, now that Jesus is back with the Father, there's the Holy Spirit, there's three, but it's all community of God. Welcome back, Scott. You're a good man. All right. So the object of our faith is Jesus. See, when our faith is in Jesus, our faith is also in God. They cannot be separated. Yes? Now, if they cannot be separated, let me ask you something. How much power is that? Jonathan, how much power is that? A lot. It's kind of like, it's exceedingly, it's like, you can't describe how much power it is, can you? That's a lot of power. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of power, Sean. Great name. A lot of power. Who'd like more power in their world? Steve, would you like more power in your world? When the object of our faith is Jesus, there's going to come more power into our world. Yeah? All right, let's move on. I'm just making sure we're clear here this morning. Is this okay? See, disciples have their hope in Christ. And regardless of our own situations in life, God is greater even if the outcome we seek is not seemingly forthcoming. I want to tell you a little story this morning that Andrea had the faith for more than I, really. We had a old house, which I've talked about before, in South Fremantle. And with my children not being so small anymore, four adults and one bathroom, and I got prices on how to renovate that place. It was just like, might as well go and buy another house. It was ridiculous. It was like, you know, a lot. Ridiculous a lot. It was another house price, another. I thought, that's not going to do that. So, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? Feel like that season's over, but you've blessed us. We're living in a great suburb. There's always side benefits to serving the Lord, by the way. And Andrea had gone walking. Some of you have probably heard this story. And she'd walked, I think it was actually with Melissa's children. One day. And she saw this sign where she dropped the kids off at school. Beaconsfield Primary School, a sign for sale. And God immediately spoke to her and said, you can own that piece of land. Immediately. She prays and walks. Sometimes it's good to pray and walk through your suburb. Hey, Ben. You never know what God might do. Will you put that testimony on video for me? Because that's good news, if you haven't already. Yeah, you've got no choice now, because everyone's... And so we thought, well, okay, let's put the house on the market. And nothing happened. First time around, nothing at all. So we thought, well, we thought we'd heard from you. And I'd actually rung the agent about the block. That's always my area, not Andrea's. And he was pretty rude to me, in fact. Nah, like 8 offers. And they're not bridging, you know, you're not waiting for another house to sell. And so we kind of just left it and thought, well, we thought we'd heard from you, God. Sometimes we do miss it, right, too. But kind of it was just there still. And so we kind of like, okay, Lord, it's in your hands. It's always good to do that. Yeah. This is probably one of those times because, you know, I'm in a bit of an action man. I like to get things done. And where I just thought, oh, well, let's see what God wants to do. And I think it was like later that year, I talked to my real estate agent who knows of God and seen a few miracles happen through his life when we've prayed for him. Still believing he's going to come to church, travels around the world a fair bit. Anyway, I go, I think there's an opening for about 6-7 weeks just prior to Christmas. So we put the house back on the market and we thought, regardless of this other block, we're going to sell anyway, right? And so do that and no one came through. But then on the 7th week, the very last week, we thought, oh, well, we'll take it off in the 8th week after that, you know. It's Christmas time, forget it. This guy comes through, and I'm going, the agent, there's no way this guy has any money. Get him out of here. It's not, you know, he's just, and you know what? He He went down to the Seaview Tavern with the agent, and within an hour or so, he'd signed for the exact amount that Andrew and I wanted for the house. The next day, I get a phone call. Guess from who? The real estate agent of the block. And he goes, all nice to me now. Are you still interested in that block, Nigel? I go, I thought you'd sold it. I thought you said it was a cash sale. And he goes, their finances, their money all fell through. I saw your house has gone through. What do you think we did? Do you think that's God? Yeah. Well, exactly. We built the place. We bought the block. Now, there's another whole lot of story to that, but that's enough for now. I'll finish it a little while. See, sooner or later, God will show his hand in your life. Sooner or later, God's going to show his hand. And in the meantime, our faith has opportunity to grow. Where were our eyes through that whole period of time, nearly a year? Where were our eyes that stay on Jesus? We stay focused on Jesus. The object of our faith is. And so, we've got to recognize that he is our Savior. And it's not just for the once, it's ongoing. He wants to do things in our lives that seem ridiculously like that's just the way he is. Blessed is at the last hour, I don't know why, but that's how he operates, because I think he wants to build in us the faith to continue. And see how real he is. Number two, disciples know him and have seen him. And when Thomas said, "We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way?" All right, sounds like Thomas, doesn't it? We don't know. What's going on, Lord? Jesus responds, "My friend, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through. Come here, Addison, for a second. It's all right, I'm not going to hurt you. You're Thomas for a second. You've just said to me, how do we know what's going on? How do we know everything's going to be all right? Say that to me.
How do we know that it's all going to be all right?
And I look at you and kind of go, you know me and you see me. Yeah. Look at me. You know me,
yeah,
and you see me. You know me and you see me. Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to take a seat. We know him through our relationship with him, right? Addison knows me reasonably well. We've been hanging out for ages. Well, mate, I don't hang. These two hang out, but. But through our relationship with God, he operates through our lives. We see him at work in our lives. Yeah? And so the object of our faith is Jesus. And more than once I've heard people say, just because you ask God for something does not mean that he will give it to you. And some of these are good people, quote John 5, 14 and 15, we first have to ask according to his will before he hears us. And of course, we don't ask for things that are not according to his word, right? We ask for things that are according to his word, the good things. But who believes that God wants to bless us? And when we're faithful to God, God wants to bring benefits to our lives. Because he's alive, he's real, things can come to us. They might be little miracles, they might be big miracles, but it confirms our faith, because the object of our faith is Jesus. We enjoy the relationship we have. The same as I have a great relationship, which is why we can get Addison up, and because we have relationship. He says to the disciples, "You know me." In other words, he was trying to say, "You already know me enough. You already know what I'm going to say. You already know what I'm going to do." And if we were back in New Testament times, the beginning, and you can see me. But I want to ask you today, is it any different today? Is it any different today? Can we see Jesus today? Come on. Is it any different? Can we see Jesus? Thanks for being a sport. Can we see Jesus today? Can we see Jesus today? Is it any different? Because the object of our faith is Jesus, we can see him through the operation in our lives. Yes. If you're happy about that, just stand up and give yourself a little jig. Say, "Yeah, that's me. Come on. Come on. I believe it. 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 Jesus is the object of my faith." See, I don't have that much faith for the Dockers to win. But I have enough faith to know that Jesus can change your world. I have enough faith to know that whatever's going on, God's the answer. Yeah? When he's the object of our faith, nothing is impossible. Come on. We'll get there. He says to them, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Whew, power level's going up again. And this means that if you want to know what the Father's will, mind, heart, attitude toward you and your family is, just look at Jesus in the Gospels. And you'll find out the will of God, the will of Jesus for your life. The will of the Father for your life. And what the Holy Spirit wants to do through us, which I'll get to. And so when we put our trust in Jesus, we know his life will follow, do we not? It's not what will be. Rather, when our object of faith is Jesus, good news is coming. Good news is coming. And so we've got to put out some of those thoughts and some of those things that maybe we've been trained from previous experiences. That, well, if it's God's will. Because as soon as you go there, there's doubt. Does Jesus want to heal? I said, did Jesus want to heal? Is Jesus alive? Let's just get back to the basics of what God is for our lives. It's not supposed to be complicated. And when the object of our faith is Jesus, my last point, it is good news. When the object of our faith is Jesus, it's great news. See, the truth is, anyone who believes in me will do, this is John 14, verse 12. The truth is, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. And although you may have trouble right now, you still have his rest, because Jesus is the object of your faith. Yeah? So although you might have trouble right now, where's our trust? It's in Jesus. And because the object of our faith is Jesus, you know his life. And because you know his life, you know good news is coming, right? Come on. Because you know his life, what's coming? Is Jesus bad news? Everywhere he went, more and more people seem to follow him, right? He's great news. The object of our faith is Jesus, because he's the best news that any human being can ever have. So if your child is sick, who's got children here this morning? Raise your hands. We've got a lot of kids in our church. I think we've got about 80. Okay, thanks. If your child is sick, is it God's will to heal them? Yvonne, is it God's will to heal them? Rebecca, is it God's will to heal them? Yeah. Amen. I like that. That's cool. We only have to look to Jesus and see how he ministered to children who were sick. Who's the object of our faith? We only have to look to? Gentile woman came to Jesus. A Gentile woman, right? And she'd heard about this Jesus, who at that stage was really only working with the Jews. She comes to Jesus, but Jesus is busy. But he grabs her attention. She grabs his attention. And he says a funny thing to her. Her son was home, demon-possessed in bed. They had to strap him to the bed because he was so possessed of the devil. And Jesus says an interesting thing. Kind of interesting. He goes, don't I have to look after my own people first? That's my version. And she says, but don't even the dogs get some of the crumbs? And he goes, that's a fantastic answer. I don't know how you thought of that, but go home, your son's okay. Before she even got home, the son's not restricted anymore and is just peaceful, just lying in bed, totally healed. Where was her faith? Where was her faith? The object of our faith is? What about this one? Jairus has made his way to Jesus. But in the meantime, Jesus was in the process of healing a lady who had incredible problems. Lady problems. And by the time she reconnected, Jairus had reconnected with Jesus. People from his household had come. Said, just don't bother Jesus anymore because his son's died. There's no point. Jesus said to Jairus when he heard that, don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, what? Just believe. It wasn't long. For Jesus walks with Jairus. He says, why is there all this weeping and commotion? She's not dead. She's just sleeping. All the people laughed at him. We've seen him. We know he's dead. Jesus took with him Jairus and three disciples, three people like Jesus, that new Jesus. They went into that room. Get up, little girl, Jesus said. And she stood and she walked. Another time, with his disciples in the village of Nain. There's a funeral going on. Quickly, let me have four boys. Jared, Wes, Shane, you'll have to help out. Come up here. Four boys. Addison, come. Bremmer, come. Bremmer, quick. Four boys. You know, hold the coffin. All right? Yeah, come on, Shane. I need you. Two on each side. Two on each side. This is the dead boy.
Who's the dead boy?
Bremer's the dead boy.
Oh, awesome.
Lie him down. Lie him down. Quickly, lie him down. That's it. Lie him down. You're dead. Hold him underneath his... Hold him. Come on. Come on. Hold him. That's it, like that. Okay? Now just... Now you're dead. Be dead. Gee. They're all weeping. Can you imagine this? Wasn't meant to be this funny, but hey. You know, and all the crowds are wailing. Right? I mean, he's going to his funeral. He's been dead, right? He's dead a long time. Yeah, he probably is started. And Jesus did something that you didn't do because the coffin was open. That's how they did it in those days. And this, the Bible says you just did it. It was not cultural to do this. And the people are going, no, surely not. He touches. And immediately, the boy rises and starts talking to his mates. Come on. Talk to them. I'm alive. Hey, how cool is this? Thank you, guys. See, the dead boy sat up, but others fainted. Can you imagine that? I reckon Jairus would have collapsed. But when the author and the perfecter of our faith, when the object of our faith is Jesus, come on. When the object of our faith is Jesus, when the object of our faith is Jesus, he wants to bring good news. He wants to bring life. Who's glad that they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Come on. He's alive. So even though you go through troubles, you still can trust Jesus. And never forget you can know him. We know one another. Will you get close enough to God so that you know him? Because the object of your faith is Jesus. And when you're close in relationship with him, Jordan, when we have a relationship with God, how much better is the day? It's better with Jesus, isn't it? It's much better with Jesus. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Let's pray. Don't need anything. You're okay, Yana. You can take your seat again. Come on, let's raise our hands to heaven. Will you believe with me that the Jesus of the Gospels is your same good news? It's good news. It's good news. Let's lift our hands. Let's just receive from God this morning. Put your hands out like you want to receive something from him. Father, today I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, yes, we're going to have troubles, but our trust is in you. Our trust is in you. You are the object of our faith. You are. And second, Lord God, you know me, and I want to know you more today. Lord, help me to know you more. I want that relationship with you. I will pray with you, Lord. I will spend that time I need to, Father, so that my relationship is enough so that I can know that you're going to bring good news into every situation of my life. We have to do our part, right, church? So when we have that relationship, we know that good news is not far away. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great rest of your day.